You take your Bibles, please, and join me at Job chapter 12 tonight. Job chapter 12. I want to share with you some thoughts from a very interesting passage of Scripture. It outlines for us Job's response to his three friends whenever they came to encourage him. Have you ever been encouraged by people that didn't know how to encourage? I think sometimes we have to step back and ask ourselves the question, did I just edify them or did I just tear them down? Because these three friends came to Job and they gathered around him in his suffering and in his sorrow, and they proceeded to give very unwise counsel, unbiblical counsel. And it's interesting to see how Job responds to that. And then and also kind of lays out for us some understandings that we need to keep in mind as we counsel people, because we give out advice and opinions all the time, do we not? We're talking to people. People ask us questions. What do you think about this? What do I think about that? And if our foundation is not centered in what God says in His Word, but rather in my opinion about what God says in His Word, sometimes I can be given out advice that's dead wrong. And that's what happened here. Now, I want us to kind of look at this tonight in our few minutes that we have together. Beginning at verse 1, we're just going to read the first 12 verses of Job chapter 12. And Job answered and said, "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you." Now there's humor here. All right, what did he just say? He said, obviously, all wisdom abides with you, and when you die, wisdom will die with you. All right? Verse 3, "But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that we might consider your word. As oftentimes we are called upon to give advice, we're called upon to share wisdom with others. And Lord, if our wisdom is not centered in your word, that Jesus Christ is not the source of that wisdom, it's not wisdom at all. It's foolishness. And I would pray, dear Father, that you would help us as God's people to constantly be in thy word, studying thy word, so that whenever we are asked our opinion, when we are asked for advice, we'll have something that is from thee to give to others. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts tonight as we consider your word, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you do when advice is just wrong, and you know it's wrong, and your three best friends just gave it to you? You know, the Bible is so practical. A lot of people stay away from the book of Job. You know why? Because they don't like the idea of having suffering in their life. Most people spend their lives running from suffering. They'll do anything they can to get away from it. In their mind, suffering is evil. Suffering is a result of the devil all the time. Suffering is a result of I did bad things, and so bad things are coming upon me. And that is not always biblical understanding. As we're going to learn tonight from this passage of Scripture, sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives to teach us about Himself. lessons that you and I will not learn from everyday living, but we will learn in times of suffering and difficulty. I think all of us, if we are honest, can look back over our lives and realize that some of the greatest lessons we learned about God Himself were during in times of intense trouble, times of intense sickness, maybe times of untold mental anguish, that God just revealed Himself in such a way and gave understanding about Himself that we just would not have learned any other way. And God loves us enough that He'll let us go into those kind of times in our life. I say that again. God in His love allows us to go through those times. We've been sold a bill of goods in religion, though. We've been taught by religion that evil only comes when we are evil. That if something bad happens, it's because you've done something bad. That, my friends, is not always true. The disciples tried that, remember? With the Lord, He said, what evil has this boy's or this man's parents done that he should be crippled from his birth? 38 years he had suffered. And they said, what evil did the parents do? And Jesus said, the parents did no evil and this man had no evil, but that the glory of God should be revealed in what's about to take place. 38 years before, God determined that at such and such a time, the Lord was going to heal this man as a testimony to Israel. You say God would allow a man to suffer and not be able to walk for 38 years so that He could reveal His glory? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because God is sovereign. And God not only gives you the breath that you breathe, but I'm going to tell you something tonight as we're going to learn. That God also can dispose of you whenever He chooses to do so. Now, we don't like that word, dispose. Oh, that sounds bad. But when God is finished with us, as far as His earthly is concerned, He can take us off the scene anytime that He wants to. Now, I would ask for an amen, but I'm afraid that there'd be a lot of silence behind that. Because the culture doesn't teach that. That comes from the Bible. God, He disposes and He raises up whom He will because He's sovereign and He's in control. Now, we talk about God being in control, but all of a sudden when bad things start happening immediately, oh, it's the devil's destroying us and so forth. And sometimes we get off track and we miss what God wants to reveal about Himself. Just like the disciples of old, they were off track. They were dead, what? Wrong about their evaluation. How many times are we dead wrong about situations? I've had to go back and apologize to people. Things that I thought were developing weren't so. They were in my brain and I thought it was one thing and it was something totally different. And I was wrong. Now we have to admit when we're wrong and we have to understand, how do I deal with a situation when I know that the advice that's being given to me is just dead wrong? It's not even biblical. What does Job do? He takes them back to God. And by the way, this is interesting. Throughout the study of Job, you'll find something to be true. That every time God's name is mentioned, it comes from the lips of Job. It doesn't come from the lips of the men that give him advice. Now they'll talk about general things, but it's Job that always brings them back to God. Very interesting when you study that. That's a helpful tool to know how to interpret the book of Job. Now, what do you do? How do you respond or react to someone that's giving you advice? Well, here we see he responds, first of all, with humor. This is interesting to me. He responded with humor. Look at verse 2. No doubt, but ye are the people. Have you ever said, hey, you're the one? You ever done that? Hey, you're the one? Somebody shoots a basketball. Hey, you're the one! You just scored the basket. Now, what he does here, Job says, yes, you're the people. No doubt wisdom will die with thee. Okay? He responds with some humor. Now, Some people respond everything in a way that's uptight. Okay? I do that. I get uptight. All right? That's not always the right way to respond. Sometimes you just have to respond with a little bit of humor. Have you ever done something stupid? We tell our teachers, say, listen, you do something stupid in the class, don't go into a big tirade if the kids laugh. Some people take themselves so seriously. Oh, don't laugh when teacher so-and-so falls on the ground. Why not? Why not? It's all right. If you do something stupid in class, all right, and the kid starts snickering, oh! You know what you need to do? You need to take a timeout and go to the restroom. Okay? Timeout. Give the kids some relief for just a moment. And then you talk to the Lord and say, Lord, would you help me to grow up and mature in Thee? Not everything has to be hit over the head with a sledgehammer. You know, sometimes you can kill a rat with a little bit of poison. Now, you might have a .30-06 at your house. All right? There's a rat in the shed. Okay? All right? Shotgun. Man, I'm going to go kill me some rat. All right, you do. Boom! Got the rat. Now I got a huge hole in the side of my shed. What did you just do? You overreacted. You don't have to kill a rat with a shotgun. You can kill him with just a little bit of poison. It doesn't take much. Or you can, if you want to have a little bit of fun, go get one of those little sticky things. All right? When the rat gets on there, he's stuck. All right? If you want to do that, they have those available. A rat's a rat. Don't think any more highly than what you know the Bible has to say. There are creatures that are just a pest and they carry disease. All right? And you don't want them as a pet. And you have to take them out. You don't need to use a howitzer to kill a rat. You can use appropriate means to take care of a rat. And God is using Job here to disarm this situation. Here are these three wise men. Here he is. Job is sitting on the ground. He's scraping his sores with broken pottery. Anything more disgusting than that? From the sole of his foot to the top of his head, he's covered with boils. And here are these three wise men that come up. These self-appointed advisors. All right? Job, we got this. We know exactly what the problem is. You have sinned. As a matter of fact, Zophar even calls him a donkey. Did you know that in the previous chapter? He calls him the son of a wild ass. He calls him a donkey. Oh, you've done something wrong. This bad stuff doesn't happen to anybody. It only happens to evil men. We all know that. And calls him the son of a donkey. Now, I've been called a donkey a few times over the years. Right, maybe not in those nice of a words. But you know, we've all had that, and sometimes it's deserving, and sometimes it's what? It's not. So what does he do? Here he is, he's in sorrow, and he's in misery, and he responds with humor. You know what? That tells me that Job was a giant of a man. He was a giant of a man. He had his weaknesses, as we learn, and we get down to the 38, 39, and 40, when God just really turns it on, and He shows His might and power to Job, and Job says, I am unworthy. I am not worthy to even live in Your presence, God. You are so mighty and omniscient and powerful. Sometimes God has to do that to remind us. And that's exactly what happened in Job's life. Job was a godly man. But Job also had to know his place. And you and I need to know our place. And God was bringing him to that. But he also had his friends revealed to him. And sometimes we give advice that's not very holy and it's not very wise. And he responded with humor. Yes, you are the people. You are the all-knowing one. And no doubt when you die, wisdom will die with you. Verse 3, but I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. In other words, Job said, I have an open line of communication with God, and he answers prayer. Now, I want us to think for just a moment in the few minutes that we have left. How do I take advice? Do I weigh people's advice on a scriptural level or on a cultural level? Now, this is very important because people are all the time giving advice. And we can take it or leave it. And just because somebody gives it doesn't necessarily mean you have to take it. All right? We are at best men. If the advice is rooted in Scripture, you ought to take it. If the advice is mixed with Scripture and mixed with worldliness, you better be wise and discerning in it. Ask yourself this question. Is the advice Scripture-centered? Scripture-centered. Well, that's so important, especially in these days. Because most advice today is religious-centered or religion-centered. It's kind of an accumulation of religious knowledge that's out there, and it sounds really good, but it can be dead wrong. I've been listening to a series of CDs that were given to me from Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. In case you don't know, the pastor of that church is Joel Osteen. And they just had a major grace conference not too long ago, and they brought in this guy from Singapore who has a multi-million dollar facility, has thousands of people that are there. And when he walked on the stage, they were just clapping and applauding. And what it was called Grace Revolution. And he was talking about his understanding that God revealed to him what grace was all about, and that we are not supposed to preach repentance these days. That repentance is associated with law. And law has to be set aside. And we have to do it all of grace. Now, what's wrong with that? Jesus didn't say anything about setting aside the law. Jesus said, I fulfilled the law. But He said the law is what? Good. And Paul reiterated that in the book of Romans. The law is good. The law is a standard. Now, the law cannot save, can it? All it can do is reveal. But what he was saying was, let's do away with the law. Let's do away with the standard. In Christ Jesus, we no longer have a standard. Oh, that sounds very nice, doesn't it? People like to hear that. Oh, I don't have a standard anymore. The standard is now what? Me. As long as I say grace, the word grace, somehow I'm magically brought into this world of my own creation, and anything goes in the world of grace. This has been around for a very long time, this philosophy. Chuck Swindoll, back in 1988, wrote a book called Grace Awakened. And what he did in that book was he wove a mixture of religion and Bible together in that book. And he took grace and made it mean something that the Bible doesn't teach. You go to Titus, and I don't want to get off on that, but you go to Titus chapter 3, and you read about what grace teaches. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. That's what grace teaches us. And yet today, it's an anything-goes philosophy. This guy, when he walked out on the stage, they were screaming, and throughout the entire message, they were screaming and hollering and shout-outs and all this kind of stuff. It was the most chaotic service you'd ever want to hear. And that was grace. He said, what we have seen today and what we have felt today is grace. But it wasn't grace. It was error mixed with truth. So whenever I say Scripture-centered, I don't mean that you take some Bible verses and you twist them around to mean what you want them to mean. What I mean is to take the literal, historical interpretation of the Word of God. What do the words say? So that I can gain wisdom and understanding. Here's another question. There's two of them that I want to share with you further. Is the advice mixed with worldly philosophy? Political correctness. Oh, today, we have got churches today that are just running full throttle with political correctness. They've absorbed the culture and what things are supposed to be like, and they've gone to all these higher institutions of learning about how we're supposed to treat things, and they don't interpret things through the Bible anymore in our churches. They interpret them through the culture. And so they take the culture and they come to a Bible verse, and they'll completely change what the Bible verse means to fit what? The culture and what the culture says. You can do that with God's Word. Did you know that? You can change the meaning of the Scriptures. But that's not wisdom. That's not godliness. That's not truth. That's taking what is true and twisting it and making what I want it to say. Got to take the word as it is. Full dosage. Not watered down. Third question, very quickly. Is the advice given to me contrary to God's order? Now, this was the question that came up with his three friends. They were promoting something that was contrary to God's order, and Job calls them on it. He takes them to nature and says, nature even says that bad things happen. Bad things happen, and God allows it to take place. You think about a little lamb, beautiful little lamb. Our next-door neighbor doesn't have a lamb, but have brand-new lab puppies. Beautiful little puppies, and just nice coats and everything. Just a beautiful litter that they had. And you know what? Bad things can happen. Bad things can happen. We've been praying in our middle school Bible class this week for a five-week-old baby that was born with a six-chambered heart. Evidently, there was a twin that was in the original birth in the cells, and I don't know all the different terminology and so forth like that. But the second twin never developed fully. There were vestiges inside of the five-week-old baby. So they went in this past week and removed two of the chambers that were causing all the problems. The heart was struggling to work. They removed to that. Now the baby is in a very serious situation. They're going to have to move to Shands in Gainesville to do some more surgeries to try to see if they can save the baby, because they've got to remove some of the other vestiges in order for the body to function properly. Bad things happen, and God allows them. We have to accept what God allows, and we say, Lord, I will what you will. I will what you, not what I will. Because what I would be something totally different. But Lord, I will what God, what you want done. And then things fall in line. And that's what happened with Job. That's why we have such a wonderful conclusion. Don't you like the end of the book? We like to skip the middle of the book, go to the end of the book. Well, I'll tell you what, when you go to the end of the book of Job, it ends well. Because there was a servant that loved God, and he learned about how great his God was through all of this. But he had to go through some pretty bad stuff. He lost his children. He lost his possessions. In many ways, he lost his wife. She told him to curse God and die. The nearest and dearest possession that he had. And yet God was able to work in these difficulties and produce a response in Job that brought glory unto God and brought wisdom into Job's life. And then God was able to bless him with a double portion. We're going to pick up with this because he's going to take us to God's order, nature. And he's going to show us that this idea that everything that bad happens is because I've done something evil and bad, all right? He's going to take it and show us that many times God allows bad things to happen to his children. See, Job didn't know what was going on in heaven. He had no idea that Satan had showed up at heaven. And he asked if he could take Job and crush him, and that Job would turn against God. And God said, all right, go ahead and do that, but spare his life. Job had no idea what was going on in heaven. And many times you and I don't know what's going on up in heaven and what God may be allowing in our lives so that he can produce a Job at the end of the book different from the one at the beginning of the book. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise your name for the book of Job, and especially chapter 12. Lord, there's so many lessons to learn here about how to give advice and how to give scriptural, biblical advice. Oh, we've got opinions galore, but a lot of times they're based in the culture, they're based in the philosophies of this world, and they're not centered in Christ. Lord, help us not to be doling out that kind of advice. Like the three friends of Job, they were found out to be dark counsel. It wasn't good. Help us, Father, to be a benefit and a blessing to people in this church and to friends that we come in contact with and family members. Lord, help us not to just dole out what the world says, but help us to have our feet firmly planted in the good Word of God so that we can share the truth with others. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.